Excuse me for a moment, please, if you will. I don't mean to trouble you, but I must talk with someone. I can tell that you are a stranger here, and perhaps it's better that I talk to someone I don't know, because my own friends and family would think I am crazy, and I could not bear to live with that right now. My mind has been in such a state of confusion these last few days. Maybe if I talk to someone, the whirlwind tearing through my soul will calm just a bit. My heart will stop pounding so hard, and I can get on with my life. So just listen to me, please, before you go your way. Perhaps it would help you if you understood me a little better. Well, surely you know about the big inn that lies just on the edge of town. It's the only one around here for miles. It has been in my husband's family for generations. When we married long ago, there was never any question that he would continue to run the family business, and my role as the wife of the innkeeper was assumed as well. I did not mind that, but I guess at the time I did not realize what a huge task it would be. Running an inn is a full-time job and more. Sweep the rooms just to sweep them out again, shake out the mats, bake the bread, up in the morning before the sun's rays have stretched their waking fingers to the earth, in bed at night, long after the rest of the world has settled into peaceful slumber. Somehow in the blur of my life, I managed to birth and raise our own children, and they learned at a very early age that they had to do their share to keep everything running as it should. There is always something that needs to be done, someone who needs attention day and night. The job never ends. As if it were not enough to keep up with our regular routine, this year the Emperor Caesar Augustus decided it was high time to have a census, to enroll everyone in the entire Roman Empire. Maybe that's what brings you to town this time of year. Well, I don't know how you felt, but I shuddered when I first heard about this census. For even though my husband and I are living in the same town as our ancestors, I knew that many people did not. And that meant a lot of travelers coming here to Bethlehem, needing a place to stay. Having never lived through a census before, I was not sure what to expect, but I knew that we would have our hands full at the inn. And I was right. People began to trickle in from the other towns until the trickle turned into a steady stream, and then a raging river of people overflowing the streets in search of a room to rent and a place to rest their aching bodies after the tiresome journey through the deserts and the hills. Forgive me for rambling on about this, but I have gone through these past weeks in a daze, wrapped in a fog of fatigue from not having had a good night's sleep in so long. I've never seen the inn so full. Why, there was not room to bed one more person if Caesar himself had come to town, though for him, we would have turned someone else out onto the streets. You can always find room for a king. I just about had it a few nights ago when they came. It was late at night, and I was resting my head on the kitchen table while my husband huddled by the fire going over his accounts. There came a knock at the door, not too loud, but insistent. And every nerve in my body stood at attention, and suddenly I felt as wide awake as if I'd had the best night's sleep of my life. I watched as my husband answered the door. Framed in the doorway was a man, by his side a woman, a young girl, really. Even through her long, loose robes, I could tell she was with child. And the waves of pain that trembled across her face told me that her time had come. I knew what she was going through, and my heart ached for her, but it did not alter the fact that we had no room to offer them. I saw my husband sadly shake his head, and I heard the desperate plea in the man's voice, and I felt the helplessness of that young woman, but there was nothing we could do, nothing. Please do not thank my husband and I cruel for sending them away. We had no choice. No choice. Then I saw my husband point to the stable at the back of the inn, and I did not understand at first. And it dawned on me, he was offering them the stable as a place to stay. It too was full, with our own livestock as well as that of all the guests at the inn. But perhaps it would offer them a little shelter and a roof over their heads. I felt ashamed at the couple's gratitude, as if we had done anything that they should be thankful for. But the man grasped my husband's hand in thanks and then turned and led his young wife to the stable where the unwitting animals slept. I moved to the window and watched the two of them cross the yard, and I remember thinking how bright it seemed outside. There was no moon in the sky that night, but the whole earth was bathed in an unearthly sort of glow. Later that night, I woke to the woman's agonized screams, and my stomach tightened as I thought about giving birth in a prickly bed of straw surrounded by the penetrating stench of animals instead of the comforting smells of home. There is nothing glamorous about giving birth, no matter the best of circumstances. And I thought her screams would never end, and then suddenly their tone changed and became the soft, wailing cries of new life, and I knew that a baby had been born. Tears of relief and sadness streamed from my weary eyes, and I breathed a prayer of joy and thanksgiving to the Almighty God. So what's the big deal, you ask? He was not the first child to be born so far away from home, outside among animals with the dust of the earth for a bed. I don't know quite how to explain it, but I knew right away there was something different about this child. Not long after his birth, a breeze blew through the trees, and it sounded more like the voices of angels singing than it did the rustle of ordinary palm branches. And soon afterwards, a mangy band of shepherds came rumbling in from the countryside in their muck and their mud, declaring that an angel had told them that this child born in our stable was the Savior, Christ the Lord. Of all the preposterous things to say. My first inclination was to chase them right back into the hills that they'd come from. Something about the glow on their faces, coupled with the strange light and that heavenly breeze, stopped me from doing so, and a voice in the back of my mind began to whisper the words of the prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm not. Those words kept coming back to me. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. And it hit me. Not just any child, not just any son, but God's son, the Savior. My people have been waiting for a Messiah for so long, but we expected something other than a child. We've been waiting for someone to come roaring into our lives with trumpet blasts and swinging swords. Could it be that we have lost sight of God's promise in the midst of our own expectations? I wonder. Yes, I wonder. I wonder why God would send his son into the world through a young girl so far away from home. I wonder why God would allow his own son to be born among animals in a stable with a feed box for a bed. I wonder why he would come to us. For we are ordinary people, nothing special. I wonder. Oh, I wonder. And yet something makes sense about this. For the Messiah to come as a baby, I mean. When a woman's time comes, there is no stopping it. A baby is born whether you're ready or not. And you can never be fully prepared what is about to happen to you. A baby is born bursting into your life with little control on your part except to try and help it along. If God waited for our lives to be in order before he came to us, chances are he'd never get here. Instead, God makes us stop what we are doing and take notice, just as the pains of labor put all else from our mind and make us pay attention. New life is coming into the world, new life. And suddenly nothing else in the world matters except for that new life that we hold close to our hearts. I know you have to go, and I thank you for listening to my story. I feel a little better having told someone. I have to get back to work anyway, to all the endless duties that never go away. But before you go, I have one request, if that's all right. Pray for me. Pray for me that if that child in our stable really is the Christ, that God will forgive me for not finding him room. Pray for me that the next time God comes knocking at my door, I will let him in. Pray for me that when my time on this earth is done, God will find room for me. Pray for me. Pray for the innkeeper's wife. Pray for yourselves as well. For to us a child is born. To us God's Son is given. Pray with me. Oh Lord, you startle us all with the way you have come into the world and into our lives. And we are not ready to receive you as we should. And we will never be ready for the new life that comes with the singing of angels and the joy of the shepherds. But you come to us and you give us new life. You give us new life in all the places of our hearts and our spirits that long to hear good news. You come to us ordinary people that we are, and you ask us to receive your Son into our lives. O Lord, forgive us for not finding the room, but come to us and bring to us the life that comes only in the Savior of the world, the child of Bethlehem, in whose name we pray. And let all God's people say, Amen.